I go back to Pine Stand Coffee. We operate on Camp Lejeune. The goal of Pine Stand is to offer recognizable cup of coffee to Marines and sailors and their families aboard Camp Lejeune. And what I mean by that is I remember my first week in the fleet. I remember it being Thanksgiving. And so I checked into the fleet on the day that everybody was taking a 96. I got to formation, didn't know a single freaking person. And they said, all right, we'll see you in 5 days. And I was like, wait, what? You know, I didn't know anybody. I didn't have anything. And I remember that feeling of being alone. And I remember that feeling of being like, holy shit, man, this sucks. So the purpose of Pine Stand is to be that welcoming place, and that we're going to be there for him or her.
Hello, and welcome to the New Mission Career Transition Podcast. We interview service members that transition to new careers and DoD and civilian HR professionals that provide lessons learned to help you transition with confidence. I'm your host, Chris Caprellian, and our guest today is Nick Haygood, a Marine Corps veteran and founder of Pine Stand Coffee Company, located on Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and in Cedar Point, North Carolina. Nick is my hero, and you get to hear his hero's tale. He takes us through his experiences in a very difficult transition, how he found himself as a single father of two amazing kids while trying to overcome PTS, how psilocybin mushrooms and a type of therapy helped him find peace, what he's doing now as a coffee company owner to provide refuge for Marines, veterans, and family members. It's a moving story, and by the time you're done listening to this, it will make you think twice about buying your coffee from anything other than a veteran-owned business. And if you're on Camp Lejeune, you might see his trailer just outside of the Marine Corps Exchange. So show my boy Nick some love. Nick Haygood, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah. Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man, you need to drink some more coffee there, bro. You know, it's like you can consume your own product, you know.
it's the yin and yang effect, you know. You got to have the down right when you have the up.
That's right. Yeah. I'm messing with you. I know we're doing this recording in the evening and probably after a long day of work.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of different things.
A lot of different things.
Electrical. I never thought being a small business owner I'd learn how to do electrical and plumbing and insulation and God knows everything else. Small mechanic maintenance, everything.
Everything. We're going to talk about small businesses. We're going to talk about what it's like being a coffee business owner. And all that stuff and a little bit of your background. And then, you know, we're going to talk about life too and how to be resilient, what resilience might look like. I think you're the epitome of resilience, but we'll let everybody else, you know, figure that out. That's part of the journey. So before we get into the business end, we would like our guests to know a little more about who they're listening to. So Nick, I'm going to throw you a couple of softballs here. Where did you grow up and how did that Marine Corps enlistment happen?
Yeah, so I grew up in Panama City, Florida. Had two older brothers that were Marines, and so they kind of set the example for me. I remember going to Parris Island probably the first time when I was about 12 years old and watching my brother walk across the parade deck there. Then I remember my older brother went through Parris Island as well. So they kind of showed me like, hey, this is the Marine Corps. And, you know, that was what, 2006. So that was post 9/11, right real close to 9/11. So yeah, so that kind of, grounded me in wanting to be a Marine specifically.
There you go. So we got the family in.
Yeah. Yeah. My brother, he won't like me telling this, but I always got to tell the little background story so his nickname in the Marine Corps was Swamp Thing. Because after about 6 weeks of boot camp, about 4 weeks of boot camp, he decided that he didn't want to be a Marine anymore because he was tired of seeing everybody cry. So he actually escaped from Paris Island. He shut the island down for about 4 days, swam across the channel at nighttime. And then whenever they called, they actually called to tell my mom that they were going to dredge the bay and look for his body. And the next morning he called from the Piggly Wiggly, and my mom called the cops on him. Went and got him, threw him in the barracks, and they said, hey, you know, if you could survive that, you need to be a Marine. And he actually graduated meritorious Lance Corporal, then went on to be MSG, and did his Marine Corps thing.
Holy cow. That's unreal.
Yeah, it's wild.
That is unreal.
Sorry, Alan. I know you don't like when I tell that story.
We got you.
Yeah.
All right. So you enlisted. What did you do during your enlistment?
Yeah. So I did the aviation logistics thing. I went in. long story short, I lost my contract. A little bit of partying before boot camp. And lost my contract, went in as an open contract. So right on graduation day, they told me aviation logistics. It was going to be my new MOS. And off I went to Meridian, Mississippi to go do that.
You were digging it though, right?
Like
you
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. I loved aviation logistics. I know we'll get to it later, but actually when I got my commission, I went back to aviation logistics and went back to that community. Super fast paced, super intellectual, gives you really good connections throughout the logistics world, really. I mean, you know, Defense Logistics Agency just ended a contract with CACI. Yeah, there's a lot of doors open through that MOS.
Yeah, no doubt, man. But you didn't do that your entire enlistment, though, right? You found yourself on a couple of deployments.
Yeah, so when I got deployed, I got to go do some IA billets with 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. So I got to play grunt for a little while, got to play logistics man for a little while, and had some fun times out there. So yeah, I was deployed in 2007 and 8, came back in late 2008 and that's when I applied for the MESAP program.
MESAPer.
Yeah.
All right.
Mustang.
There you go. You went to the dark side. You went to the dark side.
I did.
And you went to the Harvard of the South, Auburn University, right?
Oh yeah. So a big thing, that we'll talk about too is like my love for Marines and my passion for Marines. And there were so many times as an enlisted Marine that I'd sit back and be like, dude, I can do that better. Or I'd look at an officer and I'd be like, wow, you suck. And, I just kept seeing it. And so when I came back from my deployment, man, I was just fired up. And so I remember actually telling my lieutenant like, hey, look, I'm either going to make it into the MESAP program or I'm getting out of the Marine Corps. Cause I can't deal with this. And, thank goodness, I got selected as a corporal. So I think there was 100 Marines that got selected. I think there was the most applied rank was corporal, and then they only chose 10 corporals. So it was pretty tough to get, but it was, one of the best decisions of my life for sure.
And you spent how long as an officer?
I did 5 years. So 5 years as an officer, I ended up getting medically retired for some of the injuries I received when I was deployed.
Okay.
So I ended up getting medically retired in 2018.
So that takes us kind of through your military career as a kind of a whirlwind tour really quickly.
But, yeah.
But let's get into your transition story. All right.
So, yeah, for sure.
So at some point in time, there's either an epiphany or there's a pivotal moment. Or, you know, there's some calculus of decision on why somebody would get out of the military. Why would somebody transition out?
Yeah,
And then yours was it entirely medical? And what was that like?
So it was entirely medical. So 2016, I went and like every good lieutenant does, went to go do a MARSOC indoc. And so I was already on Pendleton. So I went to go do all the screenings and all the indoc and training day one, you know, you do your Marine Corps PFT. And I ran a 17:15, crossed the finish line and, you know, it was hacking and gagging, and that was normal for me. I thought that was, you know, just the name of the game. One of the corpsmen pulled me aside and said, you know, hey, you know, you didn't tell us you had asthma. And I was like, yeah, I don't have asthma. And he's like, no, bullshit, dude. Like, look at you, you know, that what you're having right now, it looks like an asthma attack. And, you know, I was like, no big deal.
Yeah, what was your run time, man?
Oh, 17:15. Yeah.
You had a 17. What is that? Army? What is that? 2 miles? Don't say that was no. 3 miles.
Yeah, that was 3 miles. Holy. Yeah.
That's impressive. And
yeah. So they sent me to medical and said, hey, if you can pass a pulmonary functions test, you can keep training. And so I was like, oh man, this will be easy. I took the test, failed it within 2 minutes. They told me I had the lung capacity of about a 70-year-old man. And I was like, all right, well, that sucks. So then that put me on the board. That put me on a medical board. They put me on some steroids for about 6 months and said, hey, you know, we'll try another pulmonary functions test in 6 months. So got on steroids, thought I was going to ace it, and failed it again. So then that was my second limited duty. So that put me up on the medical review board.
Okay. All right. So that's happening. Like, what do you do next?
Oh man. I mean, I was wrecked, to be honest with you. I mean, I didn't really know what to do. You know, I fought for it. I went to Bethesda, stood up there in my pickle suit, and you know, argued, you know, hey, look, like, I just ran a 300 PFT. You know, I got a 300 combat fitness test, you know, perfect scores on everything. I got, you know, damn, I shoot, I was 2 points away from perfect on pistol, and, you know, like, I had one of the highest range scores on rifle. You know, I was like, dude, come on, like, you got to let me stay in here. And they said no. So I went and applied for a skill bridge, Archie's Acres for Sustainable Agriculture. It's in Cali, SoCal. So I learned how to do hydroponic farming. Mm. And so my plan was to get out of the Marine Corps and go be a farmer.
Okay. Everybody aspires, I guess, to be a pot grower, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. I wasn't going to throw that all the way out there, but yeah, so what I was going to do is I was going to grow, we were going to start with hemp, and that was going to be like that was going to be our thing. And we were just going to wait and for, you know, weed to become legal in Alabama, which we would have been waiting for a long time.
Yeah.
But you know, with the hemp game, there was money to be made. So
yeah,
we were going to get our hands into that,
but you didn't, you're doing something different now. So what made you change course?
All right. So, that was in May. So I got retired in April, moved out to the farm, started setting stuff up. Then my wife came home, and said, hey, this was in, May, end of May, I guess, came home and said, hey, I'm going to go to OCS in July. And I was like, oh shit. Okay. So no farming.
So and was she prior enlisted?
She wasn't. No, she was not prior enlisted. I met her when I was at Auburn, and, yeah, she just said she wanted to. She saw how I was with my Marines and saw like the camaraderie that I built with my guys, and said she wanted to get in on that.
You never thought you'd be the recruiting tool.
Yeah, I never thought I'd be. I was like, you just watched the Marine Corps kick me out. Like, why would you want to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's rough. Well, I mean, it's kind of rough, right? I mean, that's a going in kind of a different direction. So what'd you do from there?
Right after that, I hung out. So that, you know, she went to OCS in June, graduated 2 months later. So I moved to Quantico, and, when I got to Quantico, I actually got a job at HMX1, from my aviation logistics, hookups that I had. So I worked there for a little while. By a little while, I mean probably about 2 months. And so we found out that my son, he was about 3 years old at the time. He started start showing signs of being neurodivergent. And so we had to, I had to start taking him to appointments, and, family's everything. So I quit the job, to get him sorted out, and, found it. So he got diagnosed with, a whole slew, whole litany of things. So he's on the spectrum, and he has a helper and all that good stuff. So got my little special needs guy that runs around. He's awesome.
That's pretty heavy. You're taking care of your son, wife's at OCS.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure like you get to another duty station, right?
Yeah. So we get orders come to Camp Lejeune, 2019. And, we started rocking and rolling here. And, I guess whenever I got here, I was having really hard, really, really hard. It was very hard to see, my spouse as an active duty officer, you know, living on base. And now I'm the dependent and I'm the guy that's staying home with my kid. And, you know, my day is literally like, oh, I'm going to walk my son to the bus stop. And okay, now I guess I'll go work out, you know, at a gym with all Marines. And yeah, it was really tough. So I started, when you get out of the Marine Corps too, you start remembering a lot of the stuff. So my PTSD started hitting real hard. And, I was not having a good time. I'll leave that there.
Like, did you start your business at that point in time?
Yeah. So 2020 comes along, and my wife starts saying, you know, hey, like, you got to get up and do something. You know, you got to find out what you want to do. So she says, what would make you happy? And so I was being a smart ass, and I was like, man, all I want to do is do yoga and serve coffee all day. So then she was like, well, there's Coffee Fest. Well, why don't we go check that out? So Coffee Fest is in Wilmington, North Carolina, and it's basically a whole bunch of different people from the industry come, pretty big names come, and they basically just showcase their coffees. You know, all the coffee shops in the area come, the big name brands of syrups and milks, and they show up. And I went there and I was like, holy shit, like, I really can just serve coffee. Like this does look like a good thing. And then I also, at the same time, applied for a spouse scholarship to pay for a yoga teacher training. So within the next 4 weeks, I bought a 6x12 trailer, ordered a bunch of coffee machines, started putting a coffee trailer together, and started taking yoga teacher training.
No kidding. Where did yoga come in? Like, had you always been doing that?
Yeah, I was into yoga. Probably about 2013, I started doing yoga a lot. Actually, because of, I don't know if you know this, but there's a Diamond Dallas Page yoga, like the wrestler. And I saw this YouTube video that he was doing, where he was helping veterans with spinal injuries doing yoga. And so I was like, I'll go to a yoga class. We'll see, like, you know, what's going on. So I went to a yin yoga class, and I don't know if you know much about that, but it's all about like real slow inward yoga. And I remember we were doing hip openers, man. And we started doing some hip openers, and the next thing you know, like, I started bawling like a baby. And, dude, I was laying on the ground, like, sobbing, and the teacher came over and was like, hey, I need you to keep it down. Like, she's like, you're scaring everybody, bro. Like,
you went hard into the paint, man.
Oh man. I went all the way down. I just dove straight down into the subconscious, and man, I just loved it. I loved every minute of it. So Manford, since last 10 years, really. I mean, it's a weekly, multiple times a week, deep into meditation, doing some other plant medicine work. and
whatever works.
Yeah, man. Yeah, just going in and really finding out, you know, who I am without this this patch on my chest, you know, this Marine Corps. Who am I without all of that?
There's a question I want to ask, because I kind of want to go into the details of your business, but...
Yeah.
Tell me about this plant medicine, man.
Oh yeah, man.
Let me rephrase that. Tell me about the plant medicine, man.
So, you know, obviously in the Marine Corps, you can't, you know, partake in cannabis or mushrooms. As soon as I got out of the Marine Corps, I started experimenting with cannabis and really seeing how I could use it as a medicine versus, you know, taking antidepressants or taking the stuff the VA wanted to give me. But remember, I got the lungs of a 70-year-old man, so that didn't really... I figured out quickly, like, I can't really smoke this stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to transition to gummies, and being in Alabama, it's hard to find that kind of stuff. You know, when we moved to Virginia, I lived on base, so I was like, okay, I'm not going to be that guy. No. I'm not bringing this on base. You know, moving to Lejeune again, you know, I can't bring it on base. So we go to, as soon as we moved out in town, I had some connections from Cali and started doing that. And, you know, later on down the road, we'll skip forward like 4 or 5 years and we can go back to the other stuff. But
yeah, let's do it.
I met a teacher and I met I call her a healer. She doesn't want me to call her a healer. She doesn't want me to call her my therapist. Absolutely not. She yells at me for that. But I met this wonderful, wonderful woman, and man, she introduced me to mushrooms and psilocybin and took me on a 4-month journey that absolutely changed my life. And I'm in love with the mushrooms now. I have a good relationship with them, and it completely transformed everything I see about life.
Mm.
Yeah.
What was that protocol like? This is an emerging thing.
Yeah.
And the stigma is slowly going away. I mean, we've got some congressional representatives up there that are trying to deregulate isn't the word, but make it legal and try.
Oh, yeah. I mean, deregulation is a great word, actually. I don't mean to cut you off. This is your own podcast.
Please.
I don't want to be like, hey, you're wrong.
No, hey, but, I probably am wrong. Correct me, please.
Well, I mean, so it is. Mushrooms are in the same category as like heroin. So they're Schedule I controlled substance. And so it's a very serious thing, you know, like if different states obviously have different rules, and you are right. They are trying to, you know, like deregulate and figure out what to do. But just to think about, you know, this is a fungus that grows outside. And if you get one in your pocket, you're treated just like you would if you had, you know, a pound of fentanyl. It's insane.
Yeah. And, you know, if we could get the use of it deregulated by the FDA to get more trial studies done so we could develop the data and then show that it's certainly a viable means of being able to treat certain ailments to include PTS or PTSD.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the gateway, but it's hard to start, right? I mean,
yeah. So you asked what the process and that looked like. So,
yeah.
So my person, she calls herself a witch, but I don't want to be like my witch. I think she says that kind of tongue in cheek, but yeah. Crystal's going to listen to this. So hi, Crystal. I love you. So she's awesome. She treated it very much like it was a patient doctor kind of thing. We had an intake, we had, paperwork I had to fill out. She asked me about like my medical background. She dove into, we had like 3 different sessions where it was almost like a talk therapy where we hung out and talked about my past and kind of dove into what I was going through, kind of some of the stuff I've seen and experienced in the Marine Corps. You know, at the time I was dead center in the middle of a divorce. Yeah. Then, so we had about 3 weeks of that, and then we would do a ceremony where, you know, I came and, she made me some great mushroom tea with some cocoa and ginger. And we had the things on the floor. We had smoke. We had the altar. We had the feathers. We had everything. You know, just let your imagination go wild with that.
Mm.
And so then we did that. We did that rotation 3 different times. So over a 4-month period, that's what my weekly life kind of looked like. You know, I'd go in. Every 3 weeks we'd have a ceremony and talk to my ancestors and go meet God. Yeah, it was awesome.
I guess I won't be able to entirely process what it is that you're talking about because I haven't experienced it, but clearly you said it gave you a completely different outlook on life.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And how to, I'm presuming, view what happened in your past, how you and other people, you know, the reasons for why things happen, and then, and clearly not struggle with those memories anymore. I mean, is that accurate?
I mean, absolutely. So there was a, I'll share, you know, a little bit of a story. So there was a, we're doing a retention on a guy out in Iraq. And right whenever we were kind of encountering him, there was a moment where he pulled out a gun and shot himself in the head in front of all of us. And that was one of the most traumatic things I've ever seen, you know. You know, they don't, not to get too gory, you know, but bodies don't just drop, you know, and they don't just stay sit still. So, you know, that was something that really, really affected me through my whole entire you know, my life from then on. I mean, I'm still talking about it. I still think about him. And with the mushrooms, it let me go back to that place and let me go back to that time where physically it felt like I was there. And it felt like I was, you know, kind of sitting back and watching. It was almost like I could put my hand on my own shoulder and kind of whisper in my ear over, you know, whisper in my ear under my helmet and just say, you know, hey, buddy, like, I know this is hard to see, you know, but, you know, let's think about what's going on here. And one of the biggest parts that I always felt guilty about in that situation is I had a huge problem with understanding the idea that maybe I was the invader. And I think in that moment, that man was more afraid of turning himself over to us than he was of taking his own life. And that's why I struggled with that moment so harshly. Because it was, I think subconsciously, that moment showed me that, holy shit, like, I'm here in this man's country telling him what he's going to do. And man, that tore me up. It really tore me up because, you know, I thought, like, why was he so afraid of us that he felt like he had to do that? So the mushrooms allowed me to go back to that moment and say, like, hey, man, let's think about this. You were 20. You know, you had this idea of spreading democracy and saving the world and literally saving the world. You watched these planes fly into a building when you were 13 years old. You know, watched all of the patriotism that swept the country. You watched your brothers go off and fight in wars, and you did all this stuff. So you were doing what you thought you needed to do at the time. So the mushrooms really allowed me to go there and offer forgiveness for myself and mourn the loss of that man. Because undoubtedly, you know, he's a son to somebody. Maybe he's a brother to somebody. Maybe he was doing it because he wasn't afraid of us. He was afraid of another faction, that if they saw him talking to us, what they would do to his family. And those are all the realities that we have to face of war from the last 20 years. And the mushrooms allowed me to go back to that place and forgive myself and reconcile with myself, my actions and my beliefs. And, you know, like I said, mourn with that man and mourn for that man's family. All within seconds, within minutes.
And that's just one memory.
And this, and the way that it worked for me, and so this is not how everybody experiences mushrooms. The way that it worked for me is it literally, so if you can imagine yourself sitting on the moon, and imagine your whole life is in front of you on Earth. And imagine you have like a dial that you have like on your truck to turn the volume up or down. And just imagine being able to turn the dial to the left, and it's like a time machine that just goes click, 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 all the way back to you're 6 years old. And then turn forward, click, 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 and you're 16. And then you turn forward a little bit more and you're 21. And then you can turn backward all the way back to your 13 years old. So in that time, I sat there and played with that dial for what to me felt like 6 or 7 months. And of just going to memories after memories after memories after memories after memories after events and all of these things. And it was literally like I was physically there to do healing and to reconcile myself to myself for actions that I did in the past. And it was absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I'm just trying to picture that. And I'll admit, my initial reaction is that freak me out. But I mean, I think that's why you have somebody do the therapy and essentially coach you along through the whole process, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like you kind of know there, what to expect.
You know. Yeah, she was there with me the whole time. You know, if I opened my eyes, you know, she would be sitting there and, you know, she'd kind of ask, you know, like, are you okay? Like, you know, are you good? You know, she'd ask, you know, do you want to draw? Do you need some water? Like, you know, what are you thinking? You know, and she'd ask me. There was one other specific time where I start crying. Just forgive me. There was one time where I came out of a really hard section, and I just kept saying, like, why is this happening? You know, like, why am I going through this? Why am I doing this? Like, why is this happening? I hope I never forget the look on her face and the love in her eyes. And she looked at me and said, what do you mean? And I was like, why is this happening to me? And she's like, what do you mean, life? And it probably doesn't sound like much, but in that moment, it absolutely floored me, because I was like, like, wow, you're right. This is life. Like, what am I expecting? Like, what did I expect? You know, like, rose carpet wherever I go. Like, this is life, you know. Shit happens, and how you react to that shit is up to you. You know, you can roll around in the shit and then cry about being covered in shit, or you can pick it up and put it in a bag and take care of it, bury it. There's all sorts of stuff you can do with the shit that you carry around. I know that's a terrible metaphor, but you know, that's how it's playing out in my brain right now. So that's what you're getting.
She told you exactly what you needed to hear at the exact moment you needed to hear it.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though it sounds simple, it might very well be. It's the context means everything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You were going through a divorce too at that time.
Yeah.
It's a lot to cope with.
Yeah. It was rough, man. It was, came home. My wife told me that she had feelings for another man. Had to kind of cope with that and figure out what the next step was. Kind of sucked, you know. I was willing to work through it and work it out, and you know, ultimately that wasn't part of the plan. So she left. She said she had to leave, and that's what she needed to do for her. So I was literally left with, you know, my, at the time, what, seven-year-old special needs child and my 2-year-old daughter. And I had some injuries I was working through, and pile on top of the PTSD, pile on top of the business, and there I was. So, I mean, meeting Crystal at the time that I did and working with the medicine that I was introduced to, I mean, by far, just saved my life.
I believe it.
Yeah. And being able to, and you know, it wasn't just the plant medicine, man. It was being able to, I go back to Pine Stand Coffee. That's my shop. But anyway.
Pine Stand Coffee Company.
Yeah. So we operate on Camp Lejeune, and we kind of skipped over it, but I'll go back and hit it real quick. So yeah. The goal of Pine Stand is to offer a recognizable cup of coffee to Marines and sailors and their families aboard Camp Lejeune. And what I mean by that is, I remember my first week in the fleet, I remember it being Thanksgiving, and I wasn't going to go home for Thanksgiving. And so I checked into the fleet on the day that everybody was taking a 96. And I didn't have a roommate. So when I got there, it was just an empty room. There was a McDonald's across the street. I got to formation, didn't know a single freaking person. And they said, all right, we'll see you in 5 days. And I was like, wait, what? You know, I didn't know anybody. I didn't have a TV. I know that sounds dumb, but you know, I didn't have a TV. This was 2005. So I didn't have a smartphone. I didn't have anything. And I remember that feeling of being alone. And I remember that feeling of being like, holy shit, man, this sucks. And, so the purpose of Pine Stand is to be that welcoming place. So if a Marine is going to get his haircut and he sees Pine Stand, I want him to, you know, if he does come up and chat, I want him to know that there's people that are out there that live the same experience as him, and they have the same kind of shared history of being a Marine, and that we're going to be there for him or her. And same thing with the sailors. And now that I've had the experience of being a spouse, same thing. Historically, I've only hired Marine Corps spouses. So anybody that works at Pine Stand is going to be a Marine Corps spouse or a veteran. So we got your back.
That's certainly purposeful, right? I mean, it's not just about serving coffee. There's a broader, higher order purpose than just selling something.
Oh, absolutely. So, I forget. I got on my tangent. Yeah. So our motto is more than coffee. So coffee's secondary, in my mind. So being able to sit out there and talk to the Marines and offer them kind of like a wisdom, offer them my wisdom if they ask for it, and offer them a safe place to vent. Some of the Marines that, you know, I served the Marines that the 13 Marines that we lost out in Afghanistan, two of them were regular customers at Pine Stand. So when the rest of the guys came back, you know, it was real solemn. You know, those were dudes that used to come to the coffee shop. And then, you know, so got to share some tears with some Marines, and got to talk to Marines and let them know some of my experiences and share some time with them. And I mean, all that's part of it. All that's part of the healing journey that I've been on, and all of it's part of the finding my purpose and finding the path that I want to go on.
All right. Pine Stand Coffee Company. It's more than coffee.
Yeah.
Okay. So you started with
sorry.
No, don't be sorry, man. I'm kind of like, all right, that's it. It's a wrap, man. That's like, I feel like we got just a badass story. I'm going to ruin it.
No.
by going into details on how to be a small business owner. But I mean, yeah. I think that's actually, we covered the best part about it. Maybe it's like understanding what it is that you want to do and why you want to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you started with the trailer.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just going to, God, I almost don't want to do it. I'm just going to ask some dumb questions.
Yeah, that go are ahead,
business
man.
Related.
Go ahead.
Maybe we'll come full circle though.
Yeah.
All right. So what did you learn about? I mean, I think a lot of people, and even I have had this little itch in the back of my head, because I'm a dork, man. I like baking.
Yeah. Yeah.
there's something, well, it's like, I like baking. I like cooking. I'm a coffee snob. I think you have like a Tropicana. What is it? What coffee do you do that's just tastes like coconut oil? And I love it.
You're talking about the Copper Tone.
The Copper Tone.
Yeah.
What a great name, man.
Yeah, caramel and coconut.
Caramel and coconut. See?
It smells like the beach.
It does. Yeah. It smells like the beach. Man, it still gets me because I can't find anything like it anywhere in Virginia. Maybe it's out there somewhere. I haven't found it. But yeah, so I got that itch. Some other people might have an itch in, you know, what's it like being operating your business, starting out in a trailer? Like what are the things that people should think about?
Dude, it's wild. It is literally like the Wild West, man. It is, trailer people are not mentally stable. I'll go ahead and just throw that out there, man, because it's one thing to open up a restaurant. You know what I mean? Like, people will literally tell you, like in the business world, like, don't open a restaurant unless you're willing to throw away like hundreds of thousands of dollars. I've heard that over and over and over. And okay, now put that on wheels. And now, like when I opened my coffee shop, they didn't even allow food trucks in Jacksonville.
Really?
Yeah. So I wouldn't even be allowed to serve coffee off base. Like, cities around us have had to be sued to allow food trucks.
That's outrageous.
Yeah. So not only are you dealing with that, but you're dealing with, you know, you got to fill up your water. You got to bring your gas. You got to bring supplies. You got to bring a can-do attitude. You got to find out where you can park. You got to figure out, you got to make sure your wheels are going to not fall off your trailer. You got to make sure your generator's not going to die. You got to make sure, what if it rains? You need a generator cover. You got to worry about state regulations about where you can dump water. There's so much stuff that you got to think about. And man, a lot of it is just, I mean, the Marine Corps really helped me out on this one, because it's like, you just got to fit flow, man. You got to figure it the fuck out. And we actually used to have a drink that was called that, the FITFO. So
you gotta keep that acronym alive, brother.
Yeah.
Snafu. We got bust them all out every now and then. Just keep it alive. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, opening a trailer is rough, man. Like, I literally thought, like, oh man, I'll go out in the parking lot. I'll sell like, you know, $30 of coffee a day. I'll talk to some Marines and I'll make enough for some fishing lures, you know, and I'll go fishing with my kid on the weekend, and that's what it is. And then now, you know, I have the trailer, I have the building, 4 employees, some business, 2 business partners, wonderful business partners. And, so it's definitely not what I thought it would be.
What kind of challenges did you face, you know, just other than the logistics aspect of it and the operations aspect of it? I mean, you mentioned going to a hard stand, but there's that interesting pivot point where you start generating business, and that's great, but now you run less. If you're a one man show, you just keep running lower and lower on capacity, and it gets harder and harder to generate more revenue, where you have to scale or you have to outsource. So as a small business owner, like, how did that happen? At what point in time did you have the epiphany that you first, or maybe in no particular order, needed to take on employees and then needed to outsource certain business related activities? And what were they?
Yeah. So, Tina Manning is, my business partner, one of them. And, she was actually standing in line with me. And whenever she used to be a regular customer. And so this is going to answer your question. When did I know that I needed to grow? When she started putting in her own order, because I was so slammed, I couldn't even put in orders. And so she just grabbed my square and just rang herself up and like paid for herself. That's when I knew. I was like, okay, I need to hire somebody.
Hey, Tina, so I had a I need you to do that for the next 4 hours and I'll pay you.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much how it was. It was like, dude, I will pay you. If you can just stand here and take orders. And, she did. And it was amazing. And so I was like, oh, okay, this is growth. All right. So then I started, then it just snowballed, man. Added another employee, added another employee. Yeah. As far as outsourcing, we still don't really do a lot of outsourcing, to be honest with you. So I make a lot of the graphics. I do all of the emails. Tina does the scheduling. Kayla is the other business partner, and she does all like the day-to-day operational stuff. So we couldn't survive without her. And I guess that is outsourcing, because if you take on business partners, you're outsourcing what you originally did. So yeah, I guess that's outsourcing. But as far as like the marketing, as far as getting in contact with people, I mean, that's still day-to-day operations as a business owner, man. It's still running and gunning.
How about them taxes?
I don't understand it, man. I'm telling you.
You do outsource that though, right? Taxes, payroll?
Nope. I do taxes. I do my payroll. Yeah.
What's that like? How'd you, that's gotta be a hard lesson learned.
Yeah, man. So, yeah. So the first couple months, I knew what this sales and use tax thing was, but I didn't really understand it. I thought that, yeah, man, you know, every quarter I'll pay a sales and use tax and then I'll be done with it. And I didn't know that it was every month. So I didn't pay my taxes for like, yeah. So
I thought it was every, I thought in Virginia it's every quarter. Maybe that's just payroll.
So in quarter, you have to pay a projected tax. So like you do like this weird LLC thing. I still don't understand it that well. We just became an LLC 2 quarters ago.
Okay.
So before we were a sole proprietorship and just under my name, which is probably just made a lot of the business guys flinch, but I had a lot of insurance.
Well, and it also depends on, you know, what's your net worth, right?
Yeah.
Sole proprietorship makes sense, but you have other business partners. That LLC is very beneficial.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Very beneficial.
And when you grow.
Yeah. Yeah. And as far as growth. So no, man, I still pay the taxes. Payroll, all that good stuff.
So you decide to scale and you go to brick and mortar. So what's that like? Tell me that story.
Yeah. So that came as a result from the divorce. So when my spouse left, originally she would bring the kids to school. She'd drop them off at school. And, you know, I would be out doing the trailer stuff at 5:30 in the morning. Whenever she left, you know, I couldn't do it anymore. So the solution that I came up with was there was a metal building for sale at a farmer's market. And I was like, dude, I'm going to buy that. So I bought the metal building. So the brick and mortar, if you will, as a solution. So I could still drop my kids off and then I'd go work the building. Yeah, so that was a way to keep Pine Stand alive, in all honesty. It was one of those things that, I mean, it just had to happen, or I was going to have to shut my business down.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then that was it.
Yeah, so then that was it. So then in January of this year, Tina and Kayla approached me and said, hey, look, like we'd like to buy into the business. Part of the money that we can buy into the business, we want that to open up a trailer again, and we want to operate the trailer on Camp Lejeune. And I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. So in February, we opened up our second trailer. The original trailer got sold to my older brother, Alan, Swamp Thing. So he's down in Florida running that. It's called Coffee Cove in Panama City. If you want to look it up, look it up.
Coffee Cove in Panama City. All right. Shout out.
Yeah. A little shout out.
There you go.
Yeah. So he's killing it down there and learning a lot of the same lessons that I was learning. But yeah, so now we got the trailer on Camp Lejeune and we got the building in Cedar Point, at the organic farmer's market. And, yeah, that's how we're running these days.
Wow. All right. Well, what's in the future, man? Like where do you take it to the next level?
Yeah, so right now, so I actually over the past year almost exactly, I took a contracting job. So I've actually been away from my own business for the past year. Running it from a computer from, you know, Cherry Point, North Carolina. And I did that primarily to take some financial pressure off of the company. Because it was, you know, it was paying my truck payment because I was using my truck to pull the trailer, all that good stuff. So I wanted it to thrive. So I was like, well, you know, right now I need a little bit more financial stability anyway because of the divorce. Let me go get this contracting job. And I'll be honest with you, man. Some of those paychecks went to paying employee paychecks. So I'm not the business owner of the year. You know, I don't pretend to say like, you know, I got $1 million in the bank account. It really goes back to, I'm going to do what I need to do because if I can help one Marine or if I can help one Marine's family, if I can prevent one Marine from killing themselves, that's how serious I take this. That is 1,000% how serious I take this. Every Marine that comes into my coffee shop, I'm going to extend love to that person. Every spouse, I'm going to talk to them and let them know hey, if you go to our Instagram page and look at our highlights, all of our highlights are categorized by veteran, active duty, spouse, EFMP. If you click on those, there's about 15 links inside of those different highlights for mental health, for different resources, for event boards, all that stuff. So we're completely bought into this idea that it's more than coffee. Like what we are doing is more than coffee. And I don't care if I have to be the only person out there sitting in a parking lot. If I can talk to one Marine and that makes that Marine feel like he has a home, then man, I'm going to sleep good at night. And I don't care. That's not a conventional business model. You know, business, the purpose of a business is to make money, but I don't care. I'm going to do what I need to do. And, you know, I will say that the purpose of Pine Sand has been reached. I have been told that, you know, I saved this person's life. We had one person tell us that ever since they started coming to Pine Stand, it's the first time in the last 8 years they haven't attempted suicide. Huh. That man, that brings me so much. You can hear it, man. I'm going to cry, man, because it's like, it means something, you know?
Yeah.
That means something to be able to be that person and to provide the facility for that. Means the world to me. And so, like I said, if I have to be the guy that, if I have to go get another job just so I can pay to keep the lights on in Pine Stand and my business partners are reaching people, then that's what I'm going to do.
It makes all the sweat and tears and energy worth it at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Pine Stand Coffee, folks, Pine Stand Coffee. What an amazing, purposeful model. You know, I know we're running a little bit tight on time here. So, you know, certainly I'm probably not going to cover down on all the questions. There might be some listeners out there that really are inspired by your story and we'll make sure that they have contact information. But before we get to that though, I want to ask you one question that I ask all of our guests. If there were two or three things that you want listeners to remember as they prepare for their own transition, what are they?
I'd say most importantly, stay connected. A lot of times Marines get into this mode of, oh my God, I can't wait to get out. I'm going to run as far as I can. Man, I would encourage you not to do that. If Wounded Warrior reaches out to you, reach back out to them. If your buddies are going to reach out to you, stay connected with them. Even if they don't reach out to you, reach out to them. That's my number one piece of advice that I would give. My second piece of advice I would give is learn how to accept, especially for the guys that are, you know, been in for 13 years or longer than that, the guys that are retiring. Man, warrior is not the only archetype. We are blessed to be old warriors. And what I mean by that is, I don't want to say good warriors die young, but there's this romance of, you know, the warrior running across the field and, you know, we emulate and we almost idolize these guys, you know, these, you know, Eugene Sledge and these other dudes, you know, John Bassalone, John Mackey, all these dudes, these young warriors, you know, that's like, oh man, I want to be that young warrior. But man, we are blessed to be old warriors and it's okay to let go of that warrior and it's okay to step into the wise sage, the wise man. It's okay to let go of that warrior archetype and step into more of a role model and more of a teacher and a guide. And we can remember ourselves as a warrior, but it's okay to let it go.
Tell me and tell the listeners if they want to ask you questions, or they just want to get a cup of coffee. Let's cover all that again. How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so if you want to reach out, our Instagram is Pine Stand Coffee Co. If you want to send me a message on there and we can link up, that'd be great. If you want to find me on Instagram, my personal page is Dependad. So it's almost like Dependa with a D at the end of it. So I did that on purpose because I am the Dependad. So you can hit me up on that. If you want to come have a coffee with me, we have our building location is out in Cedar Point, North Carolina at the Organic Market. Or if you want to hit me up at the trailer, we literally park right in front of Starbucks on base.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, go to Starbucks, look out towards the parking lot, walk straight, and you're going to walk right into our trailer. Mm. Yeah, I'm not going to do marketing on locations if they're going to do it for me. So
yeah. And if you're going to, if you have a choice, you could go pay your $7 for your mocha lapa frappuccino.
Yeah.
Or you could support a veteran owned business and maybe get some good vibes coming from the trailer in the parking lot.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We have a good time in there. So, yeah, come see us.
Nick, man, I didn't, you know, it's funny. We had a conversation before we did the recording and it didn't turn out the way I thought it would. It turned out even better. And so thank you so much for just sharing a really personal story, talking about, you know, your process of healing, and then just being vulnerable about all the, I mean, dude, you had like this perpetual cloud over your head and you just still keep persisting. And it's, I think it's a triumphing over adversity and you are the sage, not just to the listeners, but the way I look at it is you're leading a life that your kids, when they become older, will be proud of. And
that means a lot. Thank you.
You should never have to question that. So thank you very much for coming on and thank you for your time.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris, for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. I'll be in touch, Nick.
Yes, sir.
And Nick Haygood has left the studio. I script out questions, but I don't really know where the conversation's going to go. Man, that was great. I'm not going to say much more than that. But if you like what you heard, I'd ask you to think about subscribing to this podcast on whatever app you're using to listen to our episode. It helps us out. It helps this podcast reach more military service members that are preparing for their transition. You can also follow us on Instagram at New Mission CT. That's New Mission Charlie Tango. We publish information there. And if you have any feedback for us, you can hit us up on email. newmissionct@gmail.com. Send us your comments, send us your recommendations, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm an active duty Marine just trying to figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up. So if you are preparing for your own transition, know, well, that I'm right there with you. So until next time, stay focused.